Chapter 33, God and His Will Found, How to Live Our Lives. Opening questions. Is there a difference between being given an instruction on how to climb a mountain, for example, versus deciding which mountain to climb? Did God give us a clear and certain standard for the basic how we human beings ought to live our lives we are given? How many sermons, books, seminars, study series, or other such things, usually income generators, are created to help people find, quote, God's will for their lives? If a how to live lives pattern giver was sent, should we not seek to do what he says? After reviewing how the Spirit can guide us in certain circumstances, it is important to distinguish again between that guidance versus the plain teachings of Joshua on how we ought to be living our lives. Perhaps the most important matter to consider is, how should I live my life in order to please God? This question is closely related to the question, how do I know God's will for my life? The answer is amazingly simple. Listen to Joshua of Nazareth and he will tell you. Sadly, very, very few people do this. There are over 2 billion religious people claiming some type of association with, quote, Jesus Christ, unquote. But out of those billions, very few actually take seriously the reading of, understanding of, and doing of the teachings of Joshua. Joshua himself predicted this sad fact when he said the following, quote, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow or difficult that leads to life, and there are only a few who find it. That's Matthew chapter 7. Few who find the narrow way or gate. Joshua says, I am the way, and, quote, I am the gate. It is much easier to hide in Bible religion or church traditions and thinking having Bible knowledge or holding the right church doctrine or getting revelations from the Holy Spirit is the way to heaven. A very important point that must be emphasized is the difference between knowing the basics on how we should be living our lives versus God's guidance for an individual in various circumstances. Sadly, since most Bible people are not listening carefully to Joshua, they're like lost sheep without the shepherd guiding them on the basics of how they ought to be living their lives. Instead of listening carefully to the shepherd and living according to his teachings, they listen to all the other voices telling them how to find God's will for their lives. So they reject the light's teachings in terms of the basics on how they ought to be living their lives, and yet expect God to guide them in various circumstances they find themselves in. They will read some of the thousands of books on the theme of finding God's will for their lives, all the while ignoring the teachings of the light who tells them how they ought to be living their lives. Dear reader, please don't make the mistake of confusing the actual guidance of the Holy Spirit regarding circumstances we might find ourselves encountering versus Joshua of Nazareth plainly telling his disciples the basic daily pattern of how we ought to be living our lives. Again, if we are not willing to listen to and obey the only good shepherd, why should we expect God to guide us in various circumstances? When God says, quote, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. That's Matthew 17. And we don't listen to him, on what basis do we expect him to guide us on lesser matters? Let us make this last point perfectly clear, as most important. We must distinguish the difference between the basics of how we ought to be living our lives versus getting guidance from the Father through the Spirit on the forks in the road we encounter while living according to the teachings of Joshua. The Heavenly Father has given us all we need for understanding the basics of how we ought to be living our lives through His Son's teachings for us in the four gospel accounts. In those teachings of the light, we ought to understand the basics of how we ought to be living our lives, which basics are built on the foundational teachings of looking to lose our lives in this world in order to gain life everlasting. Once we grasp the basics of how we ought to be living our lives and start applying them to our life, then we should expect our Father to give us guidance on which fork to take in the road we encounter. In the upcoming The Solution section, we will learn clearly what Joshua teaches is the how we ought to be living our life and what we should value in this life. As an example, let's say my passion is to be a mountain climber. I consider mountain climbing the most important thing in my life. There are many techniques mountain climbers need to learn in order to successfully climb a mountain. They must learn about proper climbing equipment and how to use it, differing climbing and hold techniques for certain types of mountain surfaces, how to handle changes in weather conditions, how to train for the rigors of climbing mountains so they are physically fit, how to evaluate and handle the risks they take and how to minimize them, how to work as a unified team with other climbers, how to climb on rock versus soil versus snow or ice, how to communicate if in distress, etc. To learn all this, a person who wanted to be a successful mountain climber would need to learn all the how-tos in order to have a good chance of successfully climbing mountains. There would be a good deal of discipline involved in educating, preparing, and training oneself to actually climb mountains, and probably the best way to do so would be by a trained expert or an experienced mountain climber. To sum up, there are basic skills that a mountain climber would need to learn in order to actually successfully climb mountains. After a mountain climber was duly trained and practicing climbing mountains, only then would they be in a position to look for guidance on which mountain to climb or which way to get to the top of the mountain. In like manner, only after a person is understanding the many how to live one's life teachings of Joshua of Nazareth and practicing those teachings by living according to them, should a person expect to be able to see which path to take when encountering a fork in the road, or in the example above, which mountain to climb or which path to take to the top. Sadly, today's Bible people, Christians, largely skip over the how to live one's life teachings of Joshua and just look for guidance in decisions they face, and sadly, many of those decisions are contrary to how to live one's life teachings of Joshua. In other words, since religious people are not looking to lose their lives in the world, a basic how-to teaching of Joshua, how to live teaching of Joshua, the decisions they ask God for help on are decisions of one desire of the flesh or in the world versus another. To put it another way, we need to make sure we are on the narrow way before the way can show us how to navigate the narrow way. As a real-world example of this, this author recently saw communication from Christians asking people to pray over whether the husband ought to go back into the U.S. Army or work at some other job. They were seeking God's will for their life on that matter. The basic how to live one's life teachings of Joshua of love your enemy would prevent a disciple from joining a world's military. Thus, there is no need to seek God's will on the matter of joining a world's military, since God's will is revealed in Joshua's teachings. As another real example to illustrate the point, happens countless each day as people in the religious buildings, people they call the church, hear a message from a preacher and respond in some way indicating they want to follow Christ, quote-unquote. Perhaps most are sincere in their expressed desire to, quote, follow Christ, unquote, yet do they diligently study the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth? Not typically. Usually, they use one of the three methods addressed in this article or this chapter to try and follow Christ. They read the scripture, they listen to the preachers and Christian authors, and for many sects, they start looking for signs from the Holy Spirit to guide them into a spiritual life. All sad but clever ways to reject the light. Therefore, these people are not significantly different from the mountain climbing example above. These people are like a mountain climber who only reads how beautiful the top of a mountain is, yet never actually prepares to climb a mountain by learning all the how-tos of mountain climbing and then putting the principles into practice by training and practicing. The Christians, having seldom, if ever, trained or practiced what Joshua actually teaches, because they are listening to the other voices and doing things other than what Joshua of Nazareth says, expect some direction from God on the life decisions they face, and that, dear reader, is very unreasonable. Quote, "For which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it?" And this includes the Christians caught up in the grace teaching. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or, "What king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all cannot be my disciple." That's Luke chapter 14. Chapter section, conclusions from previous three chapters. The primary purpose of the previous three chapters is to turn people to Joshua of Nazareth so that they can know God's will for their life. Sadly, the vast majority of people who are involved in the Bible and the Christian religious system have very little knowledge of Joshua's teachings and thus little knowledge of his person and his father. The Bible religious system's purpose is to keep people in the shadows and darkness by shielding them from the true light. And one of the favorite ways to do that, especially among the sects influenced by Pentecostal teachings, is to teach the people that they don't really need Joshua to hear from God because they have, quote, the Spirit, unquote, who will guide them in their, quote, walk with God. This is just another way for people to not take seriously the teachings and thus the person of Joshua of Nazareth. It is another distraction and excuse for a person not diligently being a student disciple of the light of the world. The purpose of this author is not to dampen or hinder a genuine person's faith, personal relationship with the Heavenly Father, quite the opposite. The author contends that if a person who claims to somehow be following Joshua is ignorant of his teachings and thus not living them out, then they are in fact not a disciple of Joshua as he himself defines it. Therefore, what I am really doing is blowing on whatever embers might exist out there. Joshua made it clear what a master or student-disciple relationship is, and unfortunately, this relationship is what is attacked most diligently by those who oppose the light. What better way to attack this relationship than by getting those who might be willing to follow Joshua to listen to people other than Joshua himself? The prior three chapters have endeavored to examine the point out the most popular religious things which people use to replace actually making Joshua of Nazareth their master. To recap, they are the scriptures, popular Bible or spiritual teachers, and personal experiences or, quote, insight from the Holy Spirit. People use all three to keep away from the light of the world. As this author pointed out in this chapter, the teachings of Joshua looked at in these chapters do not make a perfect logical case for the Holy Spirit never communicating something other than Joshua's teachings to a disciple. Unfortunately for many, this little crack in the door will justify all the rubbish they claim comes from the Spirit. As we have seen, the Holy Spirit can give guidance for a disciple's personal circumstances. Equally, perhaps more importantly, we also have seen that the Holy Spirit will not provide new information regarding who God is or how he wants his children to live their lives while on the earth. The Father's Son has given all that is necessary for a person to know God, God's general, the basics on how to live one's life, will for their life, which is to do what Joshua teaches. For the person reading these three chapters who is concerned about truth, I hope you will agree that Joshua does put parameters on what the Spirit will communicate. And if you are looking to visions, dreams, revelations, or the Spirit for the basics on how to live your life, you are guilty of ignoring the light. In fact, even if you are not looking to visions, dreams, revelations, or the Spirit for your life's decisions, yet are not listening carefully to Joshua and living according to his teachings, you are also guilty of ignoring the light. As was addressed earlier, Joshua teaches his disciples quite plainly how we ought to be living or ordering our lives, and yet it is much easier to ignore him and his core teachings of losing our life in this world in order to find life everlasting, and instead look to the Spirit to guide us, quote-unquote, in things of the world which we love. In the past few chapters, we have looked at the primary claims of many Christians regarding God's will and how to find God's will. The next chapter will take a brief look at some Christian Biblian theology, which is very tightly held, which does not pass the test of logic, and yet keeps people in a largely delusional state regarding reality. Chapter summary. Finding God's will for my life. is a major endeavor for most religious people, including Christians. The simple truth is that God has revealed very clearly how he wants people to live. There is no mystery to be uncovered there, no will to be found, since the light revealed that clearly some 2,000 years ago. Since people don't want to listen to God about how to live their lives, they spend much time and energy trying to find the mysterious God's will for what to do with their lives. If Christians would actually start to live according to the revealed will of God through Joshua of Nazareth, their lives would be drastically different for the better, and most would not be looking for God's will for their lives, since they would be living it out in the most important way and would naturally be directed regarding where and with whom. The Creator gave his model for mankind, the Son of Man, and the vast majority of people wondering about what's God's will or primary purpose for their lives would be answered if they just chose to have faith in and listen to the Son of Man or model for humankind.